I'm Felina Jean, and this is Black Broads Abroad. I'm an international woman of leisure who said peace out to the United States in 2011, and I have not looked back except at this ass, honey. Since then, I've lived on 4 continents with travel to over 40 countries. Along my journey, I've come to know some very compelling Black women from all over the world who also said fuck you to their comfort zones. I created this podcast to inspire Black women in the diaspora to take risks and live their very best lives. Nadaj Njabe is a fitness entrepreneur and the first woman to own a gym in downtown Los Angeles. Originally from Paris, France, Nadaj underwent a drastic transformation when on January 20th, 2018, she had a very bad car accident that locked her lower back and caused her to become bedridden. After gaining 40 pounds and losing confidence, she decided to make a change. Through intense pain, she competed in fitness competitions in France and won 5th place after just 1 month of preparing. After working for several years thereafter as a celebrity fitness trainer in Paris, Nadaj applied for the Diversity Immigrant Visa Lottery, granting her the opportunity to move to Los Angeles, where she now resides. Welcome, Nadaj.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Felina.
Thank you so much for having your people reach out to me. I was we were just having a conversation before we began the interview, but your story... Oh my goodness, we haven't even gotten into the whole thing. It's just like you're about to take us on a whole
the cover. Journey. It's the cover.
So you grew up in Paris, as I mentioned, and your parental origins are in West Africa, Cameroon to be exact. What were your formative years growing up in Paris? What were your formative years like?
So born and raised in Paris, France is so different. I'm born and raised in what we call the hood. I'm from 93 District Sevran. My dad never really wanted us to grow in this energy. So he took us kind of in more of a suburb area. But, you know, there's not such thing as living in a suburb when your neighborhood is the hood. So you just hang out with the people from the hood. And I still had a very, very interesting and grateful, amazing life, gratefully amazing life in the same time, because I've seen crazy stuff, but I didn't went through. I've seen it happen. I've seen regular people fighting against the police. I've seen girls getting pretty much used for being woman and being too feminine, and so being sexualized or over-sexualized back at the time in the hood. Or I've seen plenty of stuff, but thanks God I didn't went through. So it kind of made me grow with a mentality of being careful while being open, if it makes sense. So I always been like, you know, if I can't help, I'm gonna do it. It doesn't cost me nothing, because at the end I get blessed. But in the same time, staying eyes wide open of what is going on around me, keeping an eye on my surrounding, because anything, it's just like America, anything can happen at any time. It's just inference.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of times Americans especially, we have this very romanticized notion of what Paris is. And of course, it's a beautiful world-class city, but you know, Black people catch hell everywhere. And so
I'm just
I've been to some of those
more
hoods in Paris.
Yeah, it's just a little bit more it's bigger in America, so it's more, of course. There is so many much more land, so many much more people. It's bigger. It's just bigger. So of course it's bigger also in the numbers and how it looks like. But in the same time, also one difference is that in America, you can have a gun. In France, it's not allowed. If you have a gun, you probably had it a certain way that if you get catch, you are in trouble. So I think this changed the mentality of how do you react knowing what you got in your pocket.
Yeah, that's true. It's like more guns than people in the divided states. It's like 350 million people in our country. It's more guns than that, which is crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody from other like developed countries, they always remark about like the fucking guns in the United States.
Yeah, and so, that's funny how you say it. You have this view of France being those romantic people who walk around with baguettes under their arm. But reverse as a European, because my mom is from Belgium. She's also super mixed white. And being French, like we look at America like, oh, this is the El Dorado where anything can become possible, where anything you're going to touch is going to turn into gold. Because those people that tell the story say how they came and they had $3 in their pocket and now they're millionaires. So you're like, oh, well, we need to go.
Well, I'm really interested in hearing about your entrepreneurial journey in the United States, having immigrated there. But I want to kind of go into how you stumbled upon your career, because it seems like it occurred through a great tragedy that happened in 2018, where you were in a car accident and you lost your only child. And first of all, my condolences. But how did fitness help you cope with your loss and get you out of a very dark place?
So actually, it's even bigger than this. So I guess it gets maybe a little mixed up. First of all, I was in a very abusive relationship for 4 years where I lost a child at 4 months and a half of pregnancy because it was beating me up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That was back in 2012, where I went to New York and I definitely lose all my shit, excuse my French, definitely out of alignment, depressed, alcoholic on top of it. I gained 75 pounds in a month in New York. The best life ever, the best day wow. ever, month ever of my life, but the worst in the same time, because I came back and my dad looked at me and say, "This is America?" And I was like, "Oh my God, where is the gym?" So here's my journey. Started my journey in fitness because I needed to find myself back. I've been with this man for 4 years. 4 years where three of them were pure hell, getting beat up for a reason, no reason, looking in his phone, finding stuff, bringing me STDs. The list is so long. The question is what he hasn't done. And everything happened for a reason, and I'm so grateful for this lesson, even if it would be nice if I learned a little bit earlier, you know, a little bit before all of this, because it ended up with kidnapping, with sequestration. So he literally trashed me in his trunk.
Wow.
If I'm not with you, nobody's going to be with you. And you're like, this is a movie. I'm a die for a nigga. No, my dad is
no,
like,
right.
I'm alive, yeah. You know? You're going to die and then your dad's going to come afterlife to kill you a little bit more. Like, what is going on with you? And so on top of that, because of all the stress, I was literally killing myself from the inside out because of all the stress. So I had eczema all over my body. If you can visualize, what's her name? The blue X-Men girl. Sometimes I forget her name. You know the blue X-Men girl? I forget her name.
No, I'm not familiar.
Whatever. I had eczema. Mystique. Here we go. Mystique. She's the blue girl with a crazy, like a funny skin, and she can transform herself on whatever she wants. Whatever her skin. I had eczema from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I went to places when they treated and they were just looking at me with gigantic eyes and be like, we don't know where to start. Where at some point the doctor was like, okay, I don't know what is your problem in life, but you will have to figure some solution or you're never going to pass 30 because your heart's going to stop. Like you're too stressed. My stomach was burning itself, too much acid. My intestine was ripping apart. I was just literally killing me from the inside because my life was killing me from the outside. And so fitness became, exutor where I found back myself, I found back confidence and even just strength for life, strength for fighting. Because my dad is from Cameroon. We fighters. That's just genetic. And from there, I started growing into that journey because I was definitely not the most fitness girl ever. Like, if somebody told me at that time, I will probably have laughed a lot. And then a little bit later, I had this car accident in 2018. And I was getting ready to get on stage before that. When I get into the accident, what pretty much saved me, because the way the accident happened, even the fireman, very surprised, I was still fully good, like nothing broken, nothing bad at all, like just a big headache.
And wow. I
stuck for a month, that's it. But that was because I seen the car coming, so I kind of tense myself, being, you know, seeing the light and being like, oh. So I tense myself, and so my muscles stay tense. So I was just locked inside my own body. It's like wearing a corset, but that's your body. So I was just very tight, and they had to literally massage me every day for a month for me to be able to do anything freely again. And after that, they were not really okay for me to go back to competition, but I wanted to show people that anything is possible in this world if you really fight for it. You can do anything, and I swear, anything. And I wish my life is a testimony for people to get this shit together, because if I can't do it, anybody can do it. And I was like, you know what? I was getting ready for this thing. This thing pretty much saved my life. Let's go. And my trainer was not really with it. Nobody was really with it. They were like, if you messed up your back, it's game over for real. And I was like, I'm not going to mess my back. I need to do it. We need to go. And I ended up 5th on 12 in body bikini building, a bikini competition in France, like literally for France, 5th on 12, when those women had 8 months to get ready. That was crazy. That was the biggest accomplishment I ever did in my life. And that was incredible. But that's not sustainable, because eating fish and vegetable all day, every day is not fun at all.
No, doesn't seem like
it. Whey? Oh, no. All this for a box of whey? I have it already. I have plenty of the house. I'm like, oh, my God. That was more for the fun and the strength and showing people, you know, that you can go through anything. Anything. I've seen people who were in wheelchair, and they're still fighting. They still go to the gym. They still, like, we don't have excuses. This is a weak game than having excuses. Oh, I don't have time. Oh, I have kids. Oh, but my bag. Oh, no, you have to go through it. If you want it, go get it. Like, nobody else is coming to save you. And that's what I wanted to show. And that's what I wanted to show, that nobody is coming to save you. So you have to do the work for yourself. You will have to save yourself. And I did it.
That's a fact. So, okay. So you competed in several competitions, and you eventually built a celebrity clientele in Paris. So how did you go about building and scaling your fitness business?
So what happened literally is that before my transformation, when I was still with this person about, like, oh my God, now almost 10 years ago now, this very like draining and crazy person, I had one of my friends that was growing in the entertainment industry, and she eventually became now one of the top female from Maghrebia in stand-up. What is crazy in stand-up, what is crazy, because in stand-up there is no such thing as Arabic woman, and then when there is few, actually they are very meticulous of what they talk about. You cannot play with everything, and she is out the box. She speak dick and ass and all of it, because my friend so, definitely, like, outstanding, and she became eventually the number one, literally, like, she's huge. And so on her way to success, she's seen me do my own transformation, and so she asked me to transform her. And so we started to work together, and she was just very such a sister from another mother, as we like to say. And she just started to share us, put me on social media. I didn't have such thing as Instagram. I think that was just a personal page where I was putting cute pictures of myself, maybe 1,000 followers. I was not near to think one day I'm going to turn into a fitness guru who has an impact, a voice on social media. And so she just posts me all the time, refer me to her friends. So I started having Miss friends and celebrity, rapper, comedian. And then once you start into this niche, everybody is just like, oh, look at him, he changed. Who did that? Oh, look at her, she changed. Oh, who did that? And so eventually they come for you. So that's pretty much how it started for me. Then I really wanted to give back to the people. That's not really something that I choose to be called, celebrity trainer. It's cool, but most of the time it's not that cool, because sometimes you need to be aware some celebrity gets celebrity vibe or celebrity style. And sometimes it's not always fun. Sometimes they're like, oh, I'm a celebrity. Maybe I can just post you. Yeah, but I cannot post my lease for me to live for free. So something, okay?
It's so crazy. They want the most free shit. Yeah, it's so like, true.
How we doing? Because I don't have free rent or free food at the grocery. So from there, I started giving back to the people, doing boot camp and parks and more personal training. And then just how it started.
So fast forward, you apply for a diversity immigrant visa to come to the United States. So what is this program, and like, how did you even hear about it?
So years before that, when I was dating another type of man who was also very bad, and we were supposed to move in Los Angeles. He was actually a good person, but we just moved to Los Angeles. We were supposed to move to Los Angeles until he cheated on me with the neighbor and then had two children and get married. But
oh, honestly, gosh,
my life, I'm gonna make it a movie and we're gonna do a movie. But beside that, we were so willing to move here that we started looking into that diversity visa. We were like, oh, it's pretty much a lottery. And then they kind of pick who they feel like can be a good fit. And then you have to go through a lot of stuff. So who say your pick doesn't mean that you have it for sure. You still have to go through a lot of loops and pay some money. It's not definitely free. It's definitely not free. But a few years later, after I finally was at peace with myself by the fact that this man dumped me to leave my dream, pretty much. I was like, you know what? There is enough room in LA for everybody to live there. So I apply again. And fun story is that I apply in November 2017, because that's the time that's between September and October, actually, September, October of the year before. And then you know the answer by May of the year after. So a few months later. And I haven't checked my stuff. I went back in Los Angeles. The results were in May 2017. I haven't checked them out. I'm coming back and forth in Los Angeles like two times. And I came back and I was dating this man, very nice. And he was like, why you don't check this this lottery thing? And I'm like, oh, they will probably send me an email. And he's like, no, you need to go check it out. And we were already in December 2017. And I found out that I was picked. So it says, wow. Hey, you have been pre-selected for the DV lottery, you need to send us those papers to go to the next, to the next step. I had two more days to send over all my papers. I had to call my dad crying, be like, I need your help. I need you to go get those papers. You need to go to the city where you're born to bring the birth certificate, all type of complicated stuff. And I was like, oh my God. So I send them, thanks God, in time. They receive them in time. Then you have all type of meeting you need to go to and interview and going to their selected doctor. So you go through all those hoops. And then comes the day where you have the final interview. And I was still working. So that was right after my car accident. Then I had the meeting. My birthday is February 8th. And the date for the meeting was March 8th. And I was like, oh, how crazy. And wow. The competition was at the end of my birthday. So I literally had 2018 being crazy for the beginning of my year, where I had a car accident on the 21st of January, get back out of it pretty much around after my birthday, jump on stage, have a meeting for my green card, and get selected, and literally having everything back to back, one after another, like literally nonstop. Every month was something going on. And so I had the meeting, and then at that time I was also still working as police officer in the metro. You know, the underground.
Were you a police officer in the metro?
That was giving ticket to people who don't have the little tickets.
Right.
For 4 years, literally. And I chose this job kind of on purpose, because they were giving you this opportunity that if you've been here for long enough, you can leave and try, you know, to do your thing. And if anything doesn't go as the way you want, you can just come back and your job is still safe. Up to 4 years. So I was like, ooh, this sounds like security, you know? If I want to try something, I can go. And if it doesn't work as I want to, I can just come back and then try again. And so I did it. And the day of the meeting, the last interview, I was at work. So I asked my boss, excuse me, boss, I have to go. I definitely have to go because I may have my green card. Like, please let me go. And he's like, yeah, no problem, go. I get there. Have all the interview, and then they finish and they're like, okay, well, your file has been approved. Another one, my bad. This is what happened when your gym is outside in downtown LA. But the good thing is I have to wear the mask out, so I'm not mad at it. when finally they say, well, your file has been approved, welcome in America and good luck in LA. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, I'm not sure my English is good. Can you repeat, please? And they're like, yeah, your file been approved. Welcome in America and good luck in LA. And I left this place with the biggest smile ever on my face. Came back in my work, middle finger everybody. I told you I will be about y'all can fuck yourself. I'm out. Hi, boss. I say goodbye, everybody. Literally, 2 weeks later, I was on a plane. I call my landlord. I say, listen, you have to take your apartment back because I'm leaving. I call the people from my car. I say, hey, you need to come get that car back. I'm leaving. Like, if somebody wants something from me, it's now because I'm leaving. Okay. And I left. And I did the surprise to all my friends. Nobody knew until I actually had the paper. And I had them join me at a restaurant that one of my friends owns. And I told them, oh, I have a surprise for you. Y'all need to come. Everybody's like, what the surprise? Why you don't just tell us? I'm like, now you need to come. Everybody, oh my God, she's probably pregnant. Oh my God, she may get married. Oh my God. No, guys, I have the green card. I'm getting the F out of here. And everybody was very happy. That was very beautiful. And then I moved here. And it's going to be on the 11th of April. It's going to be 3 years.
So that leads me kind of to my next question. So did you experience any culture shock when you moved to LA? Because it's one thing to visit a place, right? But when you live in a place, like, what has that experience been like?
I will start with social injustice, racism. That was one of the biggest. I've been back and forth in America for probably something like 8-9 years now. And I've been to the East Coast, I've been to the West Coast, I've been a little bit in the center, and I never experienced racism as we experienced it in March last year, 2020. And wow. This was, I think, the most, and even coming from France, mind you, my dad is black, my mom is white. My dad has to face racism. Before me, I was supposed to have a brother but my parents took it off because my grandparents were saying it's going to be a monkey who will climb the tree.
Wow.
Was something that we already had to face because my dad was the first Black in a white family, having all type of jokes. Oh, at night, I can only see your teeth. Oh, do you know why under your hands and your feet? Is it white? Because when we paint you, you were on this position. Da-da-da. Like, crazy stuff. And France, let's be honest, it's white people country. They were always white before us. They will probably will be white forever as much as they can, if they could. And
right.
They vary. It's like even Europe, basically. If you look at soccer game, you can see people are making monkey noise to the players. They throw cans at them. It's like it's still racist.
Wow.
But since we don't have this like gun power, even the police, the police cannot, the police cannot shoot you like this. They will have a shit load of paper to do that they were already tired to do it before they even try to do anything. That they're not even about that life. When here it's like this is a regular day thing happening. Oh, a Black man died today. Oh, damn, another one. Oh, damn, another one.
Yeah. And it's like,
is it supposed to be normal? And that was such a cultural shock because I've been growing from France, watching America becoming this multicultural place where the culture is Black. And I was like, how do you like Beyonce? You like Taylor the Creator? You like Michael Jackson? You like Prince, but you don't like Black people?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't live there.
She's like, that's what
it's so interesting. It is also two different LAs. Like, you know, it's, I mean, downtown LA is like, it's close to like South Central and stuff, but it's two different LAs. It's like industry LA, and then it's like LA too. Mm-hmm. I mean, another thing that probably was a culture shock, because you mentioned that you gained like 75 pounds when you moved to the United States, to New York, some years before that. So I know our food portions are out of control. Was that out shocking to you?
Hell yes. I moved here in LA and somebody took me to Lucille's Steakhouse, something like that. Pull up on me with a platter. I was like, excuse me, for how many people am I supposed to share with? They were like, no, that's for you. I was like, no, this is not happen. This is me for 4 days, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, the portion sizes are crazy.
And then even just the vegetable in itself, like, what carrots is this in this world here in America? I would like to know what kind of rabbits can eat that kind of carrots here in America without checking itself.
Yeah, I mean, all the food has like the GMOs and all that. I personally taste, it's the opposite happens to me. Like every time I go to Europe or I go to Paris or something for an extended period of time, I always lose weight.
Yeah, because
always.
You get rid of all the toxin, all the bad stuff from the food from here, all the GMO you've been eating, because we don't have it like that over there. Like you cannot put whatever you want into the food. Like our health system is not working with the food system when here that's what is going on. So they work together. So the purpose is anyway, eat whatever we feed you. And then if anything happened, here are some pills.
Right. Which is so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate. Yeah, it's a huge difference. I even taste the difference in the food, like not living in the U.S. anymore. Like, dang, like food really tastes different. And then the bread, that's one of the things that always like, we're always told that, you know, eating lots of bread makes you gain weight, right? But you go to the boulangerie in France and you get a baguette every day and I ain't gain a pound.
Yes. But everything is so different. So, so different. So yeah, that was definitely one of the big also cultural shock, is like the portion of the food and the quality of the food. The fact that for 99 cents, you able to have almost a gallon of blue juice when on the other end, water bottle is like $4. So you're like, excuse me, like, I don't get it. Why am I supposed to drink soda all day?
It's so true. So kind of a little bit fast forward, you developed this fitness plan that's called The Method, which is one of the most efficient 30-minute total body workouts. How'd you come up with that? And what does it include?
So this, I'm not going to steal the man, is my business partner, Josh, who came with The Method, the Metcon Method. It's his baby. It's a mix of high intensity training and strength, because what we do here and what we've been doing separately, that's what is the most really beautiful in this story, is that we found in each other what we had in ourselves. And so Josh, my business partner, or Jaylene, another one, Tegan, we all have this like huge love for fitness, where we want people to be the best version of themselves, not just being built or looking good for summer. We want them to be strong, to be able to push themselves out of situation, but not only in the physical. And so he came with this idea that putting high intensity and strength training will be very, very efficient. And it is, because it's above 700 calories in 30 minutes. They kick the shit out of you. Excuse my French.
700 calories in 30 minutes. That's crazy. I kind of jumped ahead of myself just a little bit, but I wanted to know like more about what was your experience like coming from another country and building a business. And I mean, and LA is like a huge market, and it's a very saturated fitness market, but you managed to overcome everything that you did, move to LA, and be the first Black woman to own a gym in downtown LA. What was that process like?
This one already, first of all, was a big surprise, because I had no clue. Literally, when they told me it's the first Black owned gym in downtown LA, I was like, really, guys? It's 2020. Y'all wait for French girl, Black French girls to come up and the first Black owned gym? Come on. You can do better. And so I was a little bit surprised at that.
But to qualify, it's in downtown LA, right?
In downtown LA. It's the first Black owned in downtown LA. And beside that is, even if it's a saturated market, there is something with me that I try to, that I do my best to teach to people, is that it doesn't matter who you are and what you do, there is space for you. We are a total of plus 7 billion humans in this planet. Don't you think we can all eat? You can be doing exactly what I do next door. We'll still have both of us clients. That's why I do a lot of women empowerment, because I do not believe that we have to compete. I do believe we have to empower each other. This is how we gain better and bigger. Because at the end, it doesn't matter. I will not say all the trainer in LA, I know them, but I know most of the trainer in LA, we have no issue with each other. I'm doing collabs. I post their shit. They post my shit. Like, nobody is competing. The only person you compete with is yourself, to be better than yesterday.
Amen. That's an amazing jump, though. Did you go to Los Angeles with the intention that you would launch a gym?
Of course, that was somewhere in my head. Of course, I had the plan of like, I'm gonna move in Los Angeles, and, you know, I'm gonna take over. My main goal, my big goal, is to be the fitness Oprah. You know, change people's lives, empower their daily. The daily life. And of course, that was somewhere in the corner of my head, but I didn't know it would come that fast. And this, thanks to my business partner, Josh, and my business, the other one, Tyra, to have this idea, because that was in my head. But then, you know, reality VS expectation is just like Instagram. You will see a nice picture of a nice girl, and then maybe in reality she looks like Smeagol. But the thing is, I moved here with intention. I was supposed to work for Equinox, and I was supposed to leave out of stay at the friend house until I get my own thing. And then I get here, and nothing is what I thought it was. So Equinox is charging people $200 plus $250 to only pay the trainer like $30. I was like,
wow.
Because at the end, I will have on top of that to sell myself, to have clients. Like, this is slavery, like new age slavery. And I was like, no, I don't care. People don't know me. They will know me, because eventually, if I want to take over, they will have to know me. And so I literally just push all day, every day. I get into a small gym. I started to meet people. I was hustling. I was saving as much money as I could, because my plan was just done. So I had only the money I took with me. That was $5,000. Well, was not a lot, because I was like, oh, it's going to be real quick. I'm going to jump in this job. I'm going to be all good. And then actually it wasn't good. And on top of that, my girl that was supposed to be here wasn't here either. So thank God, my friend from France was here on holiday. So I stayed with him for the time of his holiday. And of course I went, so it was supposed to stay 1 week. It turned into a month. But after that, I've been able, my friend was finally back, but the beginning was way more shakier than I thought it would be. And because, you know, just stuff happened, and I had to figure, and I had a photo shoot that was crazy. It was this very amazing Black woman called Brianka, aka B. Alyssa Trufford on Instagram. And she did the best shot of my life that I've been using science as really like my card. I've been printing this thing, and I was just walking everywhere, giving my card to everybody, put it in on every car, until I found a job at Fred Siegel, the restaurant. The owner of this restaurant on Melrose is a French woman. What was super fun. So it been pretty easy, I will say, to get the job by the fact that she was seeing that I was a hardworking French girl, and she was a French woman who also dropped everything to come make it work here, and obviously is making it work. So she gave me my chance. It been great for a year, until I was like, okay, this, you know, this comfort thing when you're like, okay, if I don't make a lot of money on this side, it's okay, because I get the restaurant. But actually the restaurant is not what you want to do, because people are driving you crazy. Like, this is not the thing. And so I was like, you know what? I know that nothing happens if you don't get off the comfort zone. And so I quit, and I just had private clients until I get a call from my business partner being like, okay, let's get together. Let's create something. And that's how the method DTLA appear in Ireland.
What an amazing story, because $5,000 is not a lot of money to come to LA with. At all. You made it work. It gives you like a month and a half, 2 months if you're lucky. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. Because I had a plan of 10,000 before that. But the thing is, like, thinking I'm going to be set up when I get there, I'm going to start at Equinox, because we've been talking about everything except payment. Because I was coming here sometimes on holiday or in the East Coast. I go to Equinox. Everybody know Equinox. It looks very nice. Everybody is somebody. So you're like, oh, this is nice. And I knew one of the managers. Okay, cool. Want to come? I would like to work for you. They're like, okay, super down. But nobody talked about numbers until I get here, and then they send me a contract, and the thing is crazy. And it was, but in the meantime, this happened. And then I thought also that the lottery was fully free. Actually, it's not. So it's about $3,000 of spend that you have to do, from taking a shot, going to a doctor, like you have 2 times to say it's okay. Running for cardiovascular stuff. I almost thought I was going to go on Mars straight up. I was like, this is a lot of tests. Or where are we going? Changing destination. But at the end, it was still not a lot. And I'm so grateful, even with all the shenanigans of Los Angeles. Los Angeles got a lot of shenanigans.
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Such fun time. Sometimes.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. So you mentioned something about getting out of your comfort zone. It leads me to my next question. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned about stepping outside of your comfort zone?
That nothing's going to happen from the inside of it. Nothing. You're going to get comfortable and you're just going to sit around. You're going to be mediocre. You're just going to sit on your own power, when you can do so much better. Everybody is such a special human being in their own way. Everybody is different, but everybody is special. And that's what is the beauty of it. So nobody can do like you. Even if you give the recipe, they still need the chef.
Right. Right. And so what advice do you have for other Black women that are thinking about leaving their home countries and joining this Black Broads Abroad expat community?
Go for it. Go for it. If when you know who you are, what you do, and more important, how do you change the world? Because I want people to remember, it's not about the money. Even if it sounds like it, money is not the real currency. The real currency is energy. What do you bring in this world? I'm going to get murdered for this. he hustled, had a lot of money, but his legacy is way bigger than the numbers of money. Because he left after him, left a message. Could be a lot of money, but the message, the legacy is bigger. The money is cool. The money is useful. But the money right now, it's like, it's better you stock it, because I don't know what they plan on doing, but you want to make sure that you're good. But it's the legacy, it's the energy, it's how do you change this world for a better place? What do you leave after you? So if, when you know who you are, what you do, why you're doing it, don't even ask yourself questions. If it's calling you, if it's calling you, you have to go. If it's calling you, you have to go.
Amen. Amen. That's very good advice. So what is next for you, and where can people keep up with your journey on social media?
What is next is we have the cleanse that is out. What is next? Hopefully another gym somewhere else. We're looking at places. So we will see. I've been having people contacting me being like, hey, you should open a gym here. We got some people who are interested. So this will be next. I have a cleanse that I just dropped that is herbal, natural, very clean and close to the Dr. Sebi legacy. That is about not only dropping weight, because that's not what matters. The size is not what matters. It's the alignment. So it's very focused into the mental part. And it's just a very wellness product. Is really mind, soul, body. But of course, if you have stuff that you need to get rid, dead weight on you, it will be gone. So I have from 5 to 15 pounds lost in 10 days. What is great, definitely amazing. We had incredible transformation with everybody so far. And then what is coming, I'm gonna tease you a little bit. I have some bikinis coming for this summer.
Oh, girl, yes. I'm loving it. You know?
Thanks, we work hard. We work hard. And now we're feeling ourselves. You know, you want to look good in your little bikini this summer. I see everybody's coming for hot summer girls. So I'm making sure everybody will be laced up.
Thank you so much, Nadash, for your time. Shout out to our Patreon members for your support. If you too are interested in joining the Black Broads Abroad movement, you can follow us on social media, and that's BLACK
BROADS. That's on Instagram and Facebook. And if you'd like to become a supporter on Patreon, you can do so on patreon.com/blackbroadsabroad.